I'd like to call your attention to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We are continuing our study through the book of Hebrews. And it's one of those passages of scripture that I really believe can help us in our day and age, in our society, in our country right now. Especially if we will apply these truths to our lives. I really want us to understand the impact that we can have as Christians if we will allow the Lord to work His will in our lives. So let's pray and ask the Lord to work in our hearts this morning. One of the ways that a society is blessed by Christian influence is through the teaching of civility with others. Christians are taught to act in such a way that maintains civility with others, even if they oppose our opinions and attack our views. Let me say that again. Christians are taught to act in such a way that maintains civility with others, even if they oppose our opinions and attack our views. Now, as I watch the news and I look at Facebook, I have noticed that our society is becoming increasingly more hostile and less civil towards those who oppose their views. This is a sign of a society that is losing its Christian influence. Even some Christians I know are using Facebook and other platforms to mock people that have political or cultural views that are different than their own. We see that on a regular basis now. Folks that are claiming to be Christians, that are Christians, and yet use platforms like Facebook and these other things, Twitter and all that stuff, to mock those who have opposing views. Well, I think we're going to see this morning that that's not the way Christ wants us to act. This is not how we pursue peace with all people, as we see in Hebrews chapter 12. As Christians, we should have strong political and cultural opinions because we want to be salt and light in our society. We want to influence our society to function in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. However, we must not implement methods that cause undue hostility with those who oppose our views. Remember, our methods of influence are different from the world's methods of influence. According to Matthew 5, it is the meek, the merciful, and the peacemakers who will inherit the earth and be the influence that affects the world in a positive way. When we implement these attributes of influence in our lives, God will use us to affect this world in a positive way. If we are going to influence people, we must have good relations with them. This will require civility on our part. The writer of Hebrews is addressing an audience that is experiencing opposition to their Christian views. Like Jesus did in Matthew 5, he focuses on our heart in his promotion of relations with others. Good relations that produce a positive influence in our society require us to have the right attitude. This passage in Hebrews helps us develop and maintain the attitude we need in order to have good relations with others and be salt and light in our society. So I want us to take a look at this passage and see how we can have good relations. Look at verse 14 for a moment in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God." The first thing I notice here is we can have good relations when we pursue peace and holiness. We can have good relations when we pursue peace and holiness. Now, if our attitude is going to be conducive to having good relations with others, we must pursue peace and holiness. Now, the word pursue gives the idea that we should be making a persistent, conscious effort to be at peace with others in a way that also displays our pursuit of holiness. Pursuing peace with all men does not mean we compromise our convictions on what is right or wrong. What it does mean is that in our dealings with others, even those who oppose us, we will be regulated by integrity, honesty, and humility, all signs of our pursuit of holiness. There must be a simultaneous pursuit of holiness as we pursue peace with men, so we may be guided by the Lord and His wisdom in our relations with others. When we pursue holiness, the fruits of the Spirit of God are manifested in our lives. You see, these fruits are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So when we're pursuing holiness, these fruits of the Spirit develop our character. These are the character traits that will help us have good relations with others. When we are guided by love, joy, peace, patience, self-control, aren't we going to have better relations with others? Of course we are. And I believe that's why our writer puts holiness and peace with all men together. Because if we are going to have peace with all men and be an influence in their lives, we must demonstrate that our character is being guided by the Holy Spirit of God. We need that in our lives. We need to have Him working in our lives. If not, when we are attacked, when we are opposed, we will revert to the flesh and we will lash out in the same way that they lash out at us. And we will not be effective in our witness to them. This is what it means to be salt and light in the world. If we're really going to be salt and light in the world, we must abandon the ways of the world in dealing with others and adopt the fruits of the Spirit in dealing with others. Adopt holiness in dealing with others. Follow Christ's example of meekness and mercy and kindness as we deal with others. And then we will truly have a positive influence on their lives. When these attributes are displayed in our character, it will make our pursuit of peace with all men much more effective. Now notice the phrase, "without which no one will see the Lord." Now this is a bold statement. This bold statement reveals the vital connection there is between pursuing good relations with others and our relationship with the Lord. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is just one passage. And these words are from the mouth of Jesus himself. To kind of give us an understanding of our relationship with God and our relationship with others, and how the two are intertwined. So look at verse 14 of Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said this. He said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, that's a serious statement. Here we see Jesus make this connection between making peace with others, forgiving them through forgiveness, and our relationship with God. Now, Jesus is not making our forgiveness of others a requirement for salvation. I want us to understand that first off the bat. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and that alone. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, he did everything necessary to provide you salvation, to forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life. However, with that grace, we see we're saved by grace, right? We're saved by grace through faith. With that grace to be saved came much more grace than just leaving us without a way to overcome sin in our lives right now. When God provided you with the grace for salvation, he also provided you with the grace to have good relationships with others. That's what we need to understand. It's not separated in God's eyes. When he poured out his grace on you, as you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and he poured out his grace on you to provide you with salvation, that grace extended far beyond just you getting to heaven. That grace is supplied so that you can fulfill his will in your life right now. And so one of those things that he provides in that grace is the ability to have good relationships with others. The ability to overcome bitterness and have forgiveness in your heart towards others. Even those who oppose you. Even those who attack you. Even those who have done you wrong. So, in God's eyes, he can say, hey, if you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you, because his grace has not only provided a salvation for you, but his grace has provided the ability for you to overcome bitterness in your life, to overcome unforgiveness in your life. And so we need to understand that. We must understand that the grace we receive as believers in Jesus Christ will motivate us to pursue good relationships with others. This is why we are encouraged to look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. You see how it's connected? God's grace motivating us to pursue good relations shows we have genuine faith and a genuine relationship with God. That's what it shows. It shows that we actually have been given God's grace. Because we know that God's grace for salvation extends far beyond just a ticket to heaven. It extends to our motivation to do God's will. and it extends to a motivation to have good relationships with others. Okay? So, let's display our genuine faith in Jesus Christ by pursuing peace with all men in a way that reveals our pursuit of holiness as well. Now look at verse 15 again. It says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Now, we can have good relations when we look out for bitterness. We can have good relations when we look out for bitterness. This command in verse 15 has both an individual and a corporate application. As individuals, we need to look out for any bitterness in our hearts. Bitterness destroys our relationships with others because it contaminates the fruit that the Spirit of God is trying to produce in us. We learned about that fruit a little bit this morning in our study of Ephesians. When the Spirit of God is working in our lives, He is producing these fruits that we talked about that are listed in Galatians 5. You can't have the character produced by love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You can't have these in your life while harboring bitterness, because bitterness destroys those fruits. Bitterness destroys those fruits. There's some diseases, like tomatoes. When you grow tomatoes, if they get some kind of root rot, the leaves just start falling off, and you don't get any tomatoes, you don't get any fruit, and it destroys some of the fruit that's already there. It gets this rotten look on them. And those diseases destroy the fruit that's trying to be made. Well, bitterness is like one of those diseases to tomatoes, to fruit like that. It destroys them. And you see, bitterness is a disease to the fruits of the Spirit. It rots them away. And it can't, and we can't have the fruits of the Spirit working in us like God wants to if there is bitterness in our hearts. So we must root out bitterness on a personal level. We must examine our hearts to root out bitterness. When we do this, we will have much better relations with others, because the fruit, the Spirit will be able to produce character conducive to relating with others. We have to develop a certain kind of personality to relate to others. You know people like that, that they're good at relating with others. They've got good people skills. Well, part of that may be that they've learned to develop some of these character traits that we see in the fruit of the Spirit. And I guarantee if we allow God to develop these fruits in our lives, we will start having better relationships with others. And we can do that only if bitterness is rooted out of our lives. But if we will root the bitterness out of our lives, then we can have the fruits of the Spirit growing in our hearts and producing good relationships with others. Now, on a corporate or church level, we should be looking out for bitterness springing up in others. You may say, well, that is none of my business. Well, that is not true. That is not true. I want you to notice the end of verse 15. Look what it says at the end of verse 15. It says, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. You see, the writer here is addressing the church. And he says, look, you need to be looking out for bitterness in your midst, in the congregation, because it is a disease that is highly contagious. Bitterness is a highly contagious disease. And when one person is infected with it, it can spread to others. And many can become defiled. So on a corporate level, it's our responsibility to help people root out bitterness in their lives. Now, because it could easily affect us. So it is our business. Bitterness in one person can spread to others and hurt their relations as well. So, as a Christian in Beacon Church, you have a responsibility to help others overcome bitterness in order to protect the rest of the flock of God. That's what we're being told here. This may mean encouraging someone to reconcile with the one they are bitter towards. If someone comes to you and you could see that they got really big problems with someone and you know they have an issue with them and it's hurting their relationship, not only with them, but it'll hurt their relationship with others, then you got to say something to them. You got to say, hey, why don't you go try and reconcile with that person? You really need to. You need to let this go. If you can't just let it go, you go to that person and try and reconcile with them. And it's important that we understand that this is something that God wants us to do. Now, if you don't feel comfortable talking to the person, you can ask the pastor to talk to that person that is battling bitterness. And this can all be done discreetly and with love. Okay? This can all be done with discretion and love, but it must be done to protect the church against the deadly disease of bitterness. It must be done. So, let's be on the lookout in our hearts and others for bitterness so we can have good relations with others. And finally, I want to call your attention to verses 16 and 17. It says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Finally, we can have good relations when we make choices that please the Spirit of God, not the flesh. Let me repeat that. We can have good relations when we make choices that please the Spirit of God, not the flesh. The writer now gives us an example of someone who did not allow the Spirit of God to produce character conducive to good relations with others. Esau, Jacob's brother, had at least two wives that were Canaanites. Now, Canaanites were women who worshipped false gods. These were women that worshipped false gods. But that didn't matter to Esau. He was driven by the desires of his flesh. He saw that they were beautiful, and he took them as wives. He married them in spite of the spiritual implications it would have on him and his family. Esau allowed his lack of interest in the things of God when Esau showed his lack of interest in the things of God when he gave up his birthright for a bowl of stew to his brother Jacob. The birthright came with blessings, but they were tied to the responsibility of looking out for the spiritual heritage of his family. So he didn't care about the spiritual heritage of his family. So it was no big deal to him to give up the birthright for a bowl of stew, because he was making choices based on his flesh instead of the things of God. He really wasn't interested in his relationship with God. He was only interested in the things that could please him now. And when later on he regretted giving up the birthright, it wasn't because he regretted his spiritual inept attitude. It was because he lost out on the inheritance, the things that he would have gotten materially because of the blessing. And that's why he didn't find any repentance. Because he still had a heart that wasn't looking out for the things of God. He was looking out for himself. And he was making decisions based on his flesh instead of based on godly things. And so when we have this kind of attitude in our lives like Esau, we're not going to have very good relations. Obviously, Esau had bad relations with his brother Jacob. And he had bad relations with his family, other family members as well. It's easy to give in to the fleshly desires of anger, bitterness, wrath, and evil speaking when someone attacks your views. But as Christians, we must resist the flesh and allow the Spirit of God to control our actions as we relate to others. That's what God wants us to do. So when you see a Facebook post or a Twitter thingy, whatever that is, a tweet, and it comes on and someone has an opposing view, even a view that attacks the very core of your Christian beliefs, don't give in to the flesh. Don't give in to the flesh and say, oh, I got a real good zinger for this one. I'm going to get them. No. Because that's not the way you influence people for Jesus Christ. That only causes more strife. That doesn't solve anything. And it makes you less effective, if not totally ineffective, in your influence with that person. We must rise above those kind of things, and we must allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives. Now, when He does, He will allow you to influence that person's life, but it won't be with a jab on Facebook or Twitter or however else. It'll be through God working in their heart and opening their minds to what you know is the truth. That's how it really gets done. And that's what we need to do in our society. As Christians, we need to abandon the world's methods in attacking others and their views. We need to continue to pray and ask the Lord to help us influence our society. Be salt and light in our world, but do it in a way that shows we are pursuing holiness at the same time. And I believe if we do that, the Christian church, Beacon Church, will have a great impact on our community.